Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln of Sugarland. On the Southwest Freeway, exit Kirkwood and take the first U-turn at West Airport under the giant American flag.
All right, welcome back. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610 on a January 2nd edition of the show. So there will be football today. Horrible reasons why, but there will be football today. 3 o'clock, the Sugar Bowl will kick off. Yesterday, it was strange yesterday, Seth, in the middle of the show, I get a text from my dad, who I don't text with all that often, but I get a text from him, and on New Year's Day, like, that's an appropriate day to get one, Happy New Year, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But his text was along the lines of, hey, if you and Amy are in New Orleans, you know, hope you're safe, prayer hands, you know, all hearts, all those things, and I'm going, oh, okay, well, this is... Thank you. We're not in New Orleans. You know, I'm in Houston. I'm working. And then I get the push notifications about what's going on in New Orleans. I'm like, oh, okay, now I know why Pop sent that text to me. And I obviously had a lot of friends there, you know, with Notre Dame and Georgia. So I immediately went into group text mode. Like, okay, can everybody roll call? Can we everybody check in? And everybody reminded me on that text, like, Sean, we're in our 50s. We don't go out for New Year's Eve anymore. We're all safe. But... all kidding aside, like, it was horrible yesterday in New Orleans. It was, if you haven't heard the story, a man whose home is here in Houston, a truck that originated as a rental in Pasadena, drove through Bourbon Street at Mach 5 speed in the middle of the night on New Year's, basically January 1st night, the morning of January 1st at about 3:15 in the morning, killed 15 people, put a bunch of others in the hospital, triggered all sorts of, IED sweeps of the Superdome. It was framed as a terrorist attack on New Orleans. It triggered investigations back here in Houston at the man's home yesterday. And at the end of the day, the game was postponed till today. This will be, so far, this is the biggest story of the, like, this is what this college football playoff is going to be remembered for so far.
Yeah, and it's we discussed yesterday what kind of if we should transition out of sports radio into something else, and this reminded me very quickly, like, nope.
I'm good.
I cannot be talking about horrible, awful things like this all day, because it's sad.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, kind of a reminder of the reality that this is a... I don't know. It's like the, you know, movie theater shootings for a few years there. It just becomes it's just something. It's a weird thing that you didn't used to think about.
Yeah.
When you're out in public, they're like, okay, plotting your exit strategy or anything like that. So it's just feel horrible for those people.
There's no hot take about what actually happened. It's horrible. Yeah.
We'll
horrible.
Save that for our alternate podcast.
Right. So I mean, the things I do think about, one, I mean, I've been to the Sugar Bowl a couple of times. Like, it's scary when you can put yourself in that scene, you know, like, wow, I've been on Bourbon Street a couple dozen times in my life, at least, you know, like, I can't even imagine. And nowadays too, Seth, the other thing, and we'll circle over to football in a minute, I promise, but I almost feel like we have too much footage of this stuff now. Like, it's like, I'm sure there's other things that I can think of recently here that, you know, that have been bad where you get too much foot. But boy, like, I mean, on Bourbon Street, there's security cameras everywhere. So you're like, well, now here's the angle of him turning the corner and hitting the gas.
It is.
Here's the angle of him really hitting top speed. Here's camera footage. And this is sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like you're in Bourbon Street. So everybody's got a phone. So now you have aftermath video from people's phones. Like, I'm like, man, this feels like too much, man.
I do. As far as, it's horrible because you end up seeing all these different angles of it and everything. But as far as from a, you know, if we were to go back 20 years and you were to say, hey, there'll be a time where there's cameras everywhere. Like, every single person you meet will have a recording device. I would have thought, like, oh, boy, this sounds like Big Brother, you know, like, oh, boy, we're under constant surveillance and everything. There's a part of it, now that it's become just the norm, that everybody's being recorded all the time, potentially. And maybe this is evidence of my middle-agedom. I kind of like it.
Okay.
I don't think that... I think there are a lot of bad things that used to happen that don't happen anymore because people know that there's a really good chance they're going to get caught on camera.
Yeah.
You watch a lot of these, like, true crime stories from the 90s. And you're like, wow, that never would have happened these days because, like, nobody would have tried that. It would have been recorded by 10 people in the bar or whatever.
Yep,
so
yep.
For whatever it's worth, I mean, maybe that's because I'm becoming an old man. I don't worry about the stuff I might get caught doing. I worry about the stuff. Like, I like a little bit of, like, okay, or when there is a crime, there's more resources to be able to go out and figure it out, especially if it's something really horrific.
Totally fair point. Totally fair point. I think the two sports angles with this, football angles with this, one, and this affects you and I, the Super Bowl is going to be in New Orleans this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going. You know, we hope the Texans go, but we as a station are going to the Super Bowl, or so we think. Do you think this in any way affects the NFL and the Super Bowl in New Orleans? I think it's... almost certainly affects the level of security that'll be there. Like, I think there's going to be more layers of security, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they've already... You know, when we had the Super Bowl here, it's crazy how much around the actual event. There were three perimeters, I think. Wasn't it? You had to go, like, through three security checkpoints to get into the actual game itself. There was, like, one at the edge of the parking lot. Then you had to get another one to get up to the stadium. And then, obviously, you've got your normal...
I didn't go. I don't know. I was doing radio.
Oh, you weren't.
My national show at the time, watching, looking out the window at NRG Stadium, saying, "I sure wish I was there instead of doing this damn radio show."
I was there.
Yeah. You know better than I do.
I was there in one of the weirdest, most surreal experiences I've ever had. I ended up sitting next to Ted Cruz's wife with my brother, and I have no idea how or why.
Huh.
It had something to do with my brother's association with USA Rugby. He ended up in the same suite.
Okay. Was it nice?
What's that?
Was it nice? Did you have a good time?
No, it was really nice.
Yeah.
And my brother, my brother didn't know that it was Ted Cruz's wife, and he was just having a nice, pleasant, non-political discussion
about
everything.
There you go. That's good.
I don't know. I don't think this is us. We've seen this happen now. People drive.
Yeah.
Every now and then somebody drives a car into a swath of people at a parade and it sucks.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. And in the aftermath, like in the 2 hours after it happens, you see all sorts of speculation about, oh, could they move the Super Bowl? I'm like, they're not moving the Super Bowl. There's a lot invested in this.
This has happened in rural areas.
Yeah.
It's happened, or I mean, smaller cities.
There's maniacs everywhere. There's maniacs. And if anything...
They're going to move it to a city where there's no potential maniacs.
Right. Well, I almost...
The guys from Houston that allegedly did it.
That's right. The other thing, and this is more like in the moment now, I mean, you're a former football player, so you can answer this better than I can. The Notre Dame and Georgia players woke up yesterday, and I understand, let me just preface, I understand what I'm saying now is sportsy, touchy-feely, has like not even in the same realm as the tragedy that happened yesterday, but we're a sports show. So Notre Dame and Georgia both woke up yesterday amped to play in their version of the Super Bowl, probably. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they were that level of mentality of going into that game. And then you find out at lunchtime that the game's pushed till 3:00 the next day.
Yeah.
Like how hard is that do you think? I mean, I know you've never been put in a situation where a game's been postponed like this, but you have been in a situation where you've woken up the morning of the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
How hard would that have been?
Up and ready to
yeah,
go.
How hard would that yeah. have been if they had to push the AFC Championship game to the next day?
I think it's one of those things that it probably difficult, obviously, but that both teams are going through the exact same scenario.
Yeah.
And because those night games, I mean, obviously, it's a very unique situation, the reason why it would be this way.
Yeah.
But I don't, I guess it's the fact that both teams are going to deal with it. And if anything, you look at it just from a purely selfish perspective, setting aside the reason for it.
Sure.
You're just like, okay, I got another extra day to rest. I'll feel that much better. And you try to maybe just, the team that manages it better gets a bit of a competitive advantage.
In that game, but I know both teams wanted it moved to the afternoon because they're now one day short on rest. Actually, 2 days short compared to the team they're going to play.
Oh, for the next week.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Penn State played on New Year's Eve. Penn State's going to wind up with 10 days rest. The team that wins this game is going to wind up with 8 days rest.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
But that's not as big. I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's not like a Texans Ravens turnaround.
Yeah.
But it's just, I know from reading the news yesterday that the two teams wanted the afternoon kick for that reason, you know, for rest and recovery purposes.
When I was, how old was I? It must have been when I was I was in sixth grade. So however old I was in sixth grade, we were playing a Pop Warner football game, a night game at Midlakes. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the game, there was a report that there was somebody in the woods with a gun. So they shut the lights off of the stadium and had everybody lay down on the ground.
Whoa.
And it was
holy
scary.
God,
it was really, really scary. And then they figured it out, and it turned out it was nothing at all, or at least they claimed it wasn't.
Did you keep playing?
We played. We finished the game.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember. All I remember from that emotionally was that I was not proud of. I was kind of ashamed of the way I reacted to it, like that I was as scared as I was laying on the ground.
What do you think you should have done?
I was next to Jen Miller, a girl who had a friend of my sister's, who's like a K-12. I was with her the whole. We were family friends and everything.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking afterwards, I was like, man, I just if anything like that ever happens again. I wasn't like blubbering or like a basket case or anything, but I felt like there were people around me that I should have been a source of strength for that I wasn't.
Oh yeah.
And I felt like from that day forward, all I remember from that whole incident, I know we finished the game. I don't remember whether we won or not. But was it like, I can't ever be like that. That's unacceptable. I need to be in situations like that. I need to be stronger. And, luckily I've never had a situation exactly like that.
No, that's interesting that at age 10 or whatever you were, that's how you internalized it.
Well, I read a boatload, so I'm always reading these war stories and everything. And I'm like, I was really hard on myself. I was like, I did not act with valor.
Were you mad at yourself that you weren't that way for everybody around there, or for Jen Miller?
Like, well, Jen Miller, because she was the one that was closest to me. I felt like I let her down.
You did? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She cute? Did you like her, or you guys were just family friends?
She was cute. We never
gotcha.
It. We were like brother and sister.
I got you.
And she was. She got a lot of attention from older boys early on.
Oh.
she wasn't in my league. She wasn't.
There was a weight class issue here.
At that point, it was kind of like, I think she was dating a freshman in high school or something. And I'm like, yeah, it wasn't an option.
Yeah. We were both scared on the ground. Then she got in her 16-year-old boyfriend's car and
left. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was very attractive. I just feel weird talking. You know when you're having a memory of like sixth grade? I'm like, okay, well, wait a second. Now I'm in my imagination. I'm imagining a sixth grader. So
yeah, it's a little weird.
She was a pretty girl.
Yeah,
okay,
gotcha,
yes,
gotcha.
But that wasn't. Yeah,
I got you. What did you think of that Arizona State-Texas game yesterday?
Oh, that was fun.
That was fun as hell.
That was fun. That little Mike Allstott wannabe there for Arizona State.
Are you going to throw
Peek-a-boo?
Shade?
Are you Pikachu? What's his name?
Are you throwing shade at Scataboo? Are you
Pikachu.
Throwing shade at Scataboo, man?
Yeah. No, I'm throwing shade at the play-by-play who when he got...
I didn't hear. What did he say?
So on the play where in the fourth quarter, it was in the fourth quarter, right, when he got carried over the...
I think it was a game-tying touchdown, yeah.
Yeah. The play-by-play guy was like, look at this. He trucks this 335-pound defensive tackle.
You're sticking up for your people. I got it.
And I'm like, that 335-pound defensive tackle was doing fine. The offensive lineman picked Pikachu up and carried him in the end zone.
That wasn't
Pikachu doing it on his own and trucking that defensive tackle.
It was his teammate, and it was a perfect form suplex. Like, he grabbed him around the waist. I'm like, damn, Brock Lesnar, look at you.
It was one of the rule changes that's been the best is that they now, for a long, long time, it was illegal for offensive linemen to help the ball carrier.
Yeah.
And they changed the rule. I don't know when they changed it in college, but in the NFL, they changed it in like 2011 or 2012. I think actually like 2009. And it took like 10 years for teams to catch on to the fact that like, oh, wait, we can actually like turn this into a rugby scrum and drive guys or do the tush push.
The tush push. Well,
it's a fun part of football now that sometimes you get these rolling scrums or offensive linemen kind of pushing guys. But I'm retroactively frustrated that offensive coaches who love to talk about how they're in the lab until 3 a.m. coming up with all these crazy plans.
Took a while.
Like, oh, but you ignored this for 10 years. Go
took
die.
A, took a while. Dude, you look at this box score. I know you want to call him Pikachu, but man, I'm looking at the fourth quarter of this game. Malik McLean, 42-yard pass from Cam Scataboo.
Yeah, okay, look, Pikachu, though. Yeah, that was a beautiful pass. That should have been picked off three times. That should have been picked off three times before the receiver ever caught it.
How about the catch that he had going down the sideline, like that set up one of the touchdowns?
That was good.
Yeah, man, I feel
I'm an honorary Longhorn until the playoffs are over.
You, honorary Aggie. Honorary Longhorn.
Well, yeah, just for during the postseason. That's the nice thing about being an honorary guy. I don't have to actually like be loyal to anybody. I can.
That's true. You would have liked the group text I had with my college buddies. There's this big rumor going around now that Quinn Ewers could transfer to Notre Dame after the year.
Yeah.
Like, there's a rumor he's got like a $6 million NIL bag waiting for him somewhere. I honestly, I'm not being facetious. I have a hard time believing it's at Notre Dame. But the Colin Cowherd was alluding to. Somebody transferring to Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman has said we're not taking any quarterback transfers this year, but the big rumor is Notre Dame. So the whole group text was this up and down Quinn Ewers like, oh man, this would be amazing if we got him. Then he throws the pick like, nah, he sucks.
You guys
like,
are scouting him?
Yeah,
that's
totally
fun.
Totally. All right, we'll lay out the rest of the college football playoff in headlines. Rockets get a win last night as well. We heard from D'Amico Ryans. We got a lot to get to in headlines, and we will do it coming up next.